Good morning, everybody. It's great to see you guys this morning. I know Christmas is coming to the end here. You know, turn your Bible over to Joshua chapter 3. You know, we've been studying out what it means to be sold out for Jesus. And we've been talking about the things that are in our way, the obstacle. And we'll review a little bit here. Let's pray before we jump in. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God in heaven, we are so grateful to be here this morning. We're so excited to be among you. God, that you know us by name. You know the number of hairs on our head. You know every situation in our life. And God, we're so great that you're among us this morning. God, I pray that you will soften our hearts. God, turn our hearts of stone into hearts of flesh. God, help us soften our hearts and help us to engage in our mind to know you and to love you, to understand your words. Father, be with us. Come speak now to your people. Father, we love you. Jesus, and we pray. Amen. Joshua chapter 3 here. We're starting verse 5, and this is what we've been talking about all this time. We're starting verse 1. We read this earlier in the series, and we'll read it again this morning. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went through the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priest carrying it, you are to move out from your position and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance about 2,000 cubits between you and the Ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing thing among you. So we've been talking about consecrating yourself. It says just consecrate yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing thing among you. Don't let this holiday be a distraction to you. Don't let, you know, you go to the mall and there's Christmas music playing. And you feel like, you know, I need to buy something. I have gift on my mind and I have all these things I want to do. But don't let this holiday be a distraction to you. You know, this morning we're going to talk about the prize worth selling out for. As we consecrate ourselves, what is the prize worth selling out for? Recap from last week's lesson. The obstacles to selling out. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 30, it says God wants us to choose life. He set before us life and death, blessing and curses. He says blessing over curses by keeping his decree and law and not to bow down to other gods. You know, first obstacle is sin. If you sell out to sin, you're not going to sell out to God. Remember the one marshmallow. Don't take that one marshmallow. We need to be careful because there's a little Judas in all of us. $21.60. That's what he sold out Jesus for. It's not about what we get out of this relationship with Jesus. Jesus needs to be Lord. And he needs to continually be Lord every day of our life. And not just rabbi. Not just a good teacher. You know, sin creates distance between us and God. It's that chasm that we create ourselves. Second thing is idol. Idol is an obstacle to selling out to God. God is jealous for us. He wants us all to himself. You know, idolatry is anything, anyone that diverts your attention from God, your affection for God, or your reliance on God, anything that consumes more time, energy than your pursuit of God. That's idolatry. And idolatry is adultery. Where you spend your time and money and your effort will show what the idols in your life are. You know, we are to put to death our earthly nature and idolatry, to throw away, to destroy our idols today in order to sell out to God. So this morning, as we look back at all the obstacles, we're going to look at the prize. The prize that we're selling out for. Why do we sell out? Why do we go all in? Why do we leave everything for this? What is it that is so valuable, so precious, that we should sell out our lives for? What is it that demands everything from us and of us and nothing less? You know, but before we talk about the prize, you know, I want to talk about a few things that we can look forward to, you know, when our time here on earth is up. There's a few things we're going to look forward to. Number one, we're going to look forward to resting our souls. Rest our souls. And Bill alluded to this in his communion. You know, I love rest. I don't know about you guys. I go out, I come home, I just want to sit down. And, you know, there used to be a time when I come back home and my kids ready, you know, they run up to me and say, "Hey, Daddy, let's play." And I'm like, "Let me take off my shoe first. Then we'll play." We love rest, right? Sunday afternoon nap. I will watch a football game and fall asleep. And they would change the channel. I'd be like, "Wait, I know what you're doing. Turn it back to the football game." They're like, "Dad, you're not even watching the game. I can hear it." And so we love rest, you know? God has put something in our hearts so that we cannot rest. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3 here, write these scriptures down. We don't have time to flip through everything, so I'm just going to go. You guys write things down here. It says, "He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has set eternity in the heart, in the human heart, yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end." Your heart is yearning for eternity. Your heart is looking for a place to settle. It's like, "I want to rest." Your soul is wanting to rest. And it cannot rest until he has found the one who created him and put that yearning in his heart. If you make it to the end, you will find rest for your soul. But you have to live, you have to lose your life to find true life. In Matthew 16 here, it says, "Then Jesus said to his disciple, 'Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for you to gain the whole world, yet forfeit your soul? Or what can you give in exchange for your soul?'" Your soul is the only thing that's going to last forever. There's nothing more important than making sure your soul finds a resting place. Nothing in this world is worth more than your soul. Don't forfeit your soul. Your soul is eternal. Let's be true disciples of Jesus. You know, at the end of the life, at the end, on your deathbed, you're not going to say, "You know, I wish I had spent more time at work." You're not going to say that. You're not going to say, "I wish I had a bigger house, a nicer car. I wish I had done more." At the end of your life, you're going to think, "Where is my soul going to rest? I wish I had spent more time with my family." You know, this life is meaningless without God. But it takes faith to walk with Jesus. Like we said before, you are a miracle, a walking and talking miracle, if you're in Christ this morning. In 1 Peter 1 here, it says, "Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the result of your faith, the salvation of your soul. You know, the end result of your faith is eternal salvation for your soul. You have crossed over from the impending wrath of God to an eternal peace with God. You can finally rest your soul. It's great to know that we can finally rest our soul. Look at this scripture here in Psalms 116. I love this scripture. It says, "Return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you." Your soul will return to rest, for the Lord is good with you. You're faithful to the end. Number two that we get to have is a new body. We get to have a new body. I'm looking forward to that. I want a new body. It's not going to be a natural body like this. It's going to be a spiritual body. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 here, it says, "So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown perishable, it is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body." One day you're going to get a new body. I don't know how excited you are, but I am super excited about that. I'm going to have a new body. My kids ask me, "Hey, you know, when we get a new body, are we going to be kids? Or are we going to be teenagers? Are we going to be singles? What form are we going to be in?" I'm like, "I don't know. I'm just happy that I get a new body. I don't know what stage I'm going to be. We might not even be in a stage. We'd be like God, a spiritual body." You think about our body. It has disease. We're achy. We would get up this morning and we're like, "Oh, my back." We went bowling with the campus a student Friday night, and I woke up Saturday morning like my back was just killing me. What happened? You know, we have chronic pains. A lot of us are going through chronic pains. Arthritis, diabetes, cancer. We have a ton of health issues. You guys, it says that we're going to turn back to dust. I look up here and I see you guys are the most beautiful dust I've seen. Some of you guys are beautiful dust. But you know, we're not going to be stuck in this body. It says God is going to transform our body into a new body. That's what I'm looking forward to. I get to, like, you know, eat and never gain weight, you know, or something. I don't know. You know, the world puts so much stock in beauty, right? They put so much in stock. And you look at the magazines and TV, and they're telling you should be like this. Why aren't you like this? You need to work out. You need to buy this. You need to buy that. And they want us to be like this model here. And sometimes we feel insecure about what we look like and, you know, things of us that we cannot change. But God's going to give you a body that you're not going to even be insecure about. Amazing. You're going to be perfect. God's going to give you a body that is perfect. Without pain. No disease. I'm looking forward to that. Number three, no more death. Death is what we're afraid of. We try to avoid death. We put on our seatbelts. We try to avoid it as possible as we can. You know, death is the equalizer to all human beings. The rich and the poor. The guy who owns a mansion with $1 billion and the guy who has nothing living on the street. Death is the equalizer. Genesis 3 here, it says, Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistle for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground. Since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. Sin entered the world. The penalty of death, the penalty of sin is death. You know, Romans 3 says the wages of sin is death. You know, no one has ever overcome death. Death is the undisputed champion of the world for all time. Death is the biggest bully. Nobody has ever been able to defeat death. But it says here that they were faithful to the end. Here's what we will see for ourselves. In Revelation 20, you will see this for yourself. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. The earth and the heavens fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And everyone was judged according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. All those whose names were not found written in the book of life were thrown into the lake of fire. It says death and Hades will be thrown into the lake of fire. There will be no more death. There will be no more funerals to go to. No sorrow. No separation. No heartaches. We will be together forever and ever and ever. Death will no longer be victorious. Death can be beaten if you are in Christ. Make sure your name is in that book of life. Make sure. Not thinking, oh, I hope it's there. Make sure your name is in the book of life. Or it says that you will be thrown into the lake of fire as well, along with death and Hades. Victory over death is coming. 1 Corinthians 15. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Death will be finally defeated. We will have victory over death. We can live without fear of death if we make it to the end. In Corinthians 15 says, the last enemy will be destroyed is death. You know, God will do something amazing on that day. In Revelation 21, I'm going to read this. And it says, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things have passed away. He will wipe away every tears. Every tears you have cried, he will wipe away those tears. No more death. The old things has gone. The new has come. I'm looking forward to that day, aren't you? Amen. That we don't have to think about death anymore. It would be an amazing, amazing day. The fourth thing that we will get if we make it to the end is heaven. You know, I've been to some of your houses and how you decorate for Christmas, and some of you guys go all out. Some of you guys, you know, take it on the roof and the you know, on the sidewalk, and I hope your electricity bill is not too high, and And we drive by this house. It's completely just in lights at night. It looks like a big landing strip or something. And it's amazing. But you think about heaven. Nothing will compare to heaven. Nothing on this earth will compare to heaven. You've seen all the beautiful places around this earth, and it says nothing will compare to heaven. Revelation 21. It says the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl. The great street of the city was of gold, as pure as transparent glass. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nation will walk by its light, and the king of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nation will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. This is where we're headed. A sinless place. Imagine going to a place where there is no sin. It says there, the gates are open wide. You know, I talk to my daughter. We talk a lot about heaven. We talk about heaven every single day, actually. And so I'm say, hey, I'm going to come visit you in heaven. And I'm just going to walk right through your door, because you probably won't have a door. And my daughter's like, you know, Dad, I think in heaven, my room, I'm going to pat it down with marshmallow. So everything is going to be marshmallow. She loves marshmallow. So my bed is marshmallow. My TV is going to be marshmallow. I'm just going to lay in my bed and turn around, just take a big bite, like, you know, just and it just spring back right back up again. And so that's her, you know, that's what she's looking forward to, you know. So we have a plan, you know, and I've talked to you guys about this. We have a plan. We sit down and say, okay, you know what? When we get to heaven, come look for me. I'm going to be at the big tree. Come look for me. And they said, yeah, Dad, you're probably going to go first. So you'd be there waiting for us. And so I said, come look for me. I'll be at the big tree. If you don't know, go ask the angels. They'll direct you to the big tree, because that's where I'm going to be at. And so we were envisioning us coming. I'm like, is that her? And then we would run and hug each other, and you made it. This is awesome. And then we would wait for Mom. We'll wait for the other one. And so what I told her, I was like, you know what we need to do? We need to pinky promise each other that we're going to make it. We got to promise each other. We went around and said, I promise that I'm going to make it to heaven. I promise that I'm going to make it to heaven. I promise that I will make it to heaven. And I'm like, you know I'm going to make it to heaven. We promised each other that we're going to make it to heaven. Don't be a fool and miss out on heaven, because you are so entranced by that one marshmallow, that you are so entranced with your sin, that you're so entranced with idols in your life, that you miss out on heaven, the greatest place you will ever find. Don't miss out on heaven. Get rid of your sin. Get rid of your idols. Let's deal with it now, because Jesus has a place for us. You know, finally here, as we talk about, you know, thinking about going to heaven, it says Jesus will come back, and we will be with him. You know, of all the things we got, you know, rest for our souls, you know, heaven, no more death, All those things pale to the prize that we will get. All those things, you guys think those things are great, and they are, but it will be pale to what we will get. And here is what we will get. The prize of all prize, the best ever. Everything in this life is worth this prize. Turn your Bible over to Revelation 22 here. This is the prize of all prize. 22 in verse 1. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nation. No longer will there be curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their forehead. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. Amen. You know, it says here that they will see his face. That you will see his face one day. The prize worth selling out for is Jesus. The prize worth selling out for is Jesus. It says you will see his face one day. You're going to see his face one day. You know, I mean, in the Old Testament, people, when if you see God, you would die. If you saw an angel, you would fall on the floor as if you were dead. So you cannot see God face to face. You know, he did it with Moses and Elijah. I will pass by and you can see my back. Imagine you're going to see God face to face one day. His name will be on their forehead. The prize worth selling out is Jesus. The Lamb of God, the Holy One, the Alpha and Omega, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the bright morning star, the Lion of Judah, the Prince of Peace, the Son of David, the great I Am. There's not enough words to describe him. It would be worth it. Jesus will come back. In John chapter 14 here, it says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back, and I will take you to be with me, that you may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. So Jesus does not lie. He will come back. We will be with him. That would be our wedding day when we get to be with Jesus. We'll meet him in the clouds. That would be our greatest day. You know, I've been waiting for my wedding day now for 26 years, 3 months, 6 days, 11 hours, 33 minutes, and 13 seconds. I've been waiting for my wedding day. Don't give in to sin. Don't give up. Don't retreat. Burn all your ships. Burn all your excuses. Destroy all your idols. That day is coming. Jesus, we will meet him in the clouds. Are you ready for that? It's going to be amazing. Mark chapter 12 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. We have to love God with all of our heart, our soul, mind, and strength. You have nothing to lose but everything to gain. Nothing to lose. Sell out now. Sell out every day for the rest of your life until you see him again. I saw this scripture today. It blew my mind. I'm thinking eternal life with God. What is that? What does that mean? What is that like? What does it mean to have eternal life with God? And Jesus said here in John chapter 17, verse 3. It says, now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That's eternal life. Eternal life is knowing God and knowing Jesus and being with him. It says that would be enough to sustain us for all eternity. Imagine our human condition, where we're going to be at, to get to know an infinite God. We're going to get to know an infinite God. Our mind cannot even comprehend what that means. It will take eternity to know God. That's eternal life. To be in his presence forever. To reign with him forever. Are you ready for eternal life? To be with God, to know him. Why would you not sell out for that? Why hold on to the things of this world? It's completely worth it. You will never regret it. You know, your life here is a mess. It's here today and gone tomorrow. Don't let your life be without Jesus. Not totally sold out to him. Let us sell out completely to Jesus, for we will see him face to face one day. You know, as we talk about consecrating ourselves, for the Lord is going to do great things among us in 2016. You know, I firmly believe that. Without a shadow of a doubt, I know God's going to do great things in 2016, just like he's done every year. And I know 2016 is going to be even greater than all the things we have seen. And we got to consecrate ourselves. We got to get ready for that. We got to throw off sin that so easily entangles us. We got to destroy our idols, get rid of them, separate ourselves, because God is going to do great things. I'm so excited for 2016. We've been praying and fasting and talking and planning, but I know God's going to do even greater than all those things. It's going to be amazing. So as we close out this series, I want you guys to go home, but be thinking about, how can I be set apart for God? How can I be used by God? What can I do to influence my friends and my neighbors and my family? Who do I need to pray for? Let's get God involved. Let's consecrate ourselves. You will never be happy or fulfilled without God. Let's decide today to sell out to the one true God. Let's get ready. Let's buckle up. This is the greatest adventure that you will ever have. Let us consecrate ourselves before God, for God will do amazing things for us. Thank you so much.
I hope you all were encouraged. It's so amazing how the Spirit works. Bill Francis talked to us about, making every effort to enter that rest. And then John Yang explained what that rest is and what we need to do to get there and to stay on that path. So that's a huge nudge for anyone that's, just thinking about it or just for the first time listening to the Word of God. God is love, and he wants to express his love to each and every one of us, and for each and every one to express the love to those around us. So I have an announcement to make. Please take your fellowship to the foyer. There's still a rehearsal going on for the Christmas prayer. Parents of the elementary school age children, bring your kids on the stage. Also, don't forget to bring the wrapped educational gifts during the midweek service. That's going to be the last time we're going to collect them. and hope that you can keep inviting your neighbors and friends for this upcoming Sunday service. Let's go to God in prayer. Father God in heaven, hallowed be your name, Father. Father, may your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, Father God. Father, we are so graciously humbled by your word, Father God. Father, what you've been teaching us through the series, Father God, just why it is so important, Father God, to sell out, Father God. This world has nothing to offer us. So far, the trend is a lot of chaos, just scary stuff happening. Father God, let us all take this opportunity to be the light to those around us, also to seek you, Father, diligently. Father, I thank you so much for the King's family accepting the job. I pray that, Father, you can use them mightily to lead the family and youth ministry. Father God, this upcoming year is, we're just so excited about it. We pray that, Father, you be with us throughout the week, and I pray these things, trusting and believing in your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. You're dismissed.